You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Diane Brown. Diane, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thanks so much for having me, Brainerd.
So, Diane, let's talk a little bit about organization. Without giving it all away, can you tell me a little bit about your organization and your position there?
Sure. I'm the founder of RX Art. It's an organization that helps children heal through the extraordinary power of visual art. We commission the most extraordinary artists to do site-specific installations in pediatric hospitals and pediatric units in an effort to make them places of beauty, humor, and comfort, to make the children less frightened, to make their families more comfortable, really a way to escape in their imaginations if they can.
So can you give me an example of that
I started RX Art because I had a CAT scan that frightened me. I wanted to get out, panicked, and there was no way I was leaving. And so the only thing I could do was just an unconscious reaction, but I imagined a Matthew Ritchie painting going across the ceiling of the scanner room. And I was completely out of the room. And when it was finished, I thought I'd like to do this for other people. So one of my favorite projects is a project by Jeff Koons. And he worked on a pediatric CAT scan machine at a hospital in Chicago. The room was so frightening at first, as all scanner rooms are. And now it has an electric blue CAT scan. And it has monkey faces on it. And then the whole room is Jeff Koons land. We have the hanging heart on one wall. He calls it a wallscape. It's a custom wallpaper just designed for that wall. And his balloon dog on another wall, and a pinatail on a donkey on the third wall. And then when that was finished, he said, I think we need to do the floor. So even the floor is fantastic colors. The kids aren't afraid. They're not having to be sedated. It completely changes the experience. And their parents wait outside this room, and there's a big glass window you can see in. And to see your child afraid is just next to knowing that your child is ill. I mean, it's so awful. But their kids aren't just afraid going into this room. And also, Jeff made T-shirts for the kids. So every child that goes through this CAT scan gets a Jeff Koons T-shirt.
So, Diane, that seems like a big leap from when you had the idea to suddenly you're working with someone like Jeff Koons and all these extraordinary artists. How did it go from the idea to actually working with hospitals? Because I would imagine that wouldn't be an easy thing to do, to suddenly commission great artists to do all this wonderful work in hospitals, and also to convince the hospitals. So maybe if you could speak to how that happened a little bit.
Well, putting museum quality art into hospitals was not an easy idea. And I had asked everyone I knew. I asked curators, collectors, critics, do you think I can put museum quality art in hospitals, not charge the hospitals, pay the artists? Everyone said I was crazy. Agnes Gund, a wonderful philanthropist and art lover, who was the former president of the Museum of Modern Art in New York, said, Diane, try it. And I thought, good enough. So I tried it. And it was a lot of work at first. Nobody wanted to take a chance because I wasn't going to put what they expected into hospitals. I didn't want to put trees and ponds and the most calming things. I wanted to put something that was out of the box, something exciting, something that was challenging in a positive way. I feel that if you give somebody something unexpected to look at, but then they're going to take the time to examine it. And while they're taking time to figure out what they're looking at, they're not thinking about illness or injury. So it took a little while to convince. We did adult hospitals as well as pediatrics. We're a small organization, so we've since decided to focus on pediatrics. But my first hospital was Rockefeller University Hospital. It's a small research hospital. And we put art into every patient room.
So how did you do that? So let's talk about how that happened, how you convinced them, and then how was that funded?
Well, I funded it, first of all, by when I started out so enthusiastic about what I wanted to do, not realizing how hard it was going to be. I was just sending letters. We got our 501c3, our charitable status, so then people could give me contributions and they would be tax deductible. And I started by going out and buying what I thought was perfect for hospitals. It was what I loved, but I thought this is perfect. So I went in telling everybody, well, this is what we're going to do. This is what, of course, that wasn't the way to approach it. One of my advisory board members is a trustee emeritus of Rockefeller University Hospital. And he said, just let her try this. If it doesn't work, she'll take it out in 3 months. So I put Art in. Initially, I had a lot of resistance from the staff because I thought I knew everything, which, of course, I didn't. And so I wound up having a little sort of tea with the staff, and I showed them slides of every piece that I wanted to put in and said, and if there's something that you don't like or you don't want, you're going to be living with it, so tell me, and we won't install it. And there were a couple pieces that they didn't feel were right for their patients or their hospital. So those pieces didn't go in, and it was a big lesson to me that one of the first things we have to do is involve the staff and in many cases the patients and give them an idea of what we want to do and see if that seems to work for them. Now when we do a project, we have the hospital approve, the hospital, the funders, and in some cases the hospitals have patient and family committees, and they approve the art before we go ahead.
And so that was one of your first hospitals, but you were buying framed art, essentially, and hanging it in there. Is that what was happening?
I was buying art and framing it and then putting it in. And after a short time, we found that we could do site-specific installations. It was much more fun for us. It was more exciting for the hospital. The artists loved doing it.
What was the first site-specific installation? Let's talk about that, because that also really changes what's happening. I mean, or maybe before saying that, the work that's being hung in there, is that work that's just loaning to the hospital, or is this part of the hospital's collection now, so to speak?
Well, we call it a long-term loan. Most hospitals don't want to own the art. They don't want to have to take care of it. That's part of our job. We take care of it. If something happens, a hospital calls us. We can have a conservator come in and fix it, or the artist come in and fix it. If something, it's not their job to take care of art. Their job is to take care of people. So we make our job taking care of the art. So we consider it a long-term loan, but as most of it is site-specific, it can't really be removed. So considering it a loan it's just words. Our first
I'm sure you're going about the first site-specific piece that you proposed.
That was by Ryan McGinnis. And we did it at the Child Study Center in New York City. And Ryan came from a background of being a graphic designer. And so he frequently will make symbols. And he took their press kit and used that as a basis, a jumping off point for ideas. And he made more than 200 symbols. And we showed them to the hospital. They approved them. And then he had them made into vinyl sort of stickers or decals, and he went in one weekend, and there was a double staircase, a two-floor staircase that was open, and we had decided, the hospital, the artist and I, that this would be a great place for an installation, and so he came in over a weekend and composed this installation, and there were stickers from floor to ceiling up two floors. It was just fabulous, and honestly, every time I went to see that installation, I found something that I swear hadn't been there before. So you could just keep looking and discovering, and it was great. Kids who were waiting for their appointments could just keep looking,
I love that. And then you continued to do more installations after that one?
Yeah, so then we still did some framed work because sometimes that's really all you can do. But we did a project with Jason Middlebrook in a bone marrow transplant unit at Mount Sinai Hospital. A couple heard me speaking and had no idea about RX art, and they came up to me and said that they would like to commission a project. This the woman's husband had been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma at a very advanced stage when he was in his early 20s, and they gave him a very poor chance of survival. He survived and was treated at Mount Sinai Hospital with a bone marrow transplant. and they wanted to do something for the hospital, for the nurses and doctors that saved his life, and say thank you. So they commissioned a project to go around the nurses' station and all around the where the patients' rooms were off of the nurses' station, but this was in the nurses' station area because they didn't want us to go into the patient rooms, which, of course, you can understand. So Jason Middlebrook was suggested to the hospital and to the funders, and Jason proposed something called Traveling Seeds, which is a mural that goes starts at the floor right by the baseboard, and it's all the plants and flowers that have seed-bearing pods in this area, and the plants and flowers are growing up from the baseboard, and it's a beautiful painting. And then above the chair rail, there you see seeds being released into the air, essentially carrying life. So it was a great metaphor. It was so successful that they asked us to do it in patient rooms. That's not really realistic. These people are too sick. We can't go into the rooms except when they're empty, and they have to be repainted constantly. So we commissioned Jason to do a series of prints. He did five prints in the edition of 10 each. And we put they're large, they're 42 by 22 inches. We put a large print in each patient's room that relates to this mural.
And how many hospitals have you worked with so far?
I think we're in 25 hospitals or 27. It's growing wildly right now. It's a very exciting moment.
And why is it growing so much? I mean, I wish I was a philanthropist and could give you, you know, millions, because it just seems like this is so important to be in every hospital or as many as possible.
I agree with you. I mean, that's my dream, for this to be in every hospital. It's so scary and hard to be in a hospital. If you can have something that is uplifting, it just changes everything. And anyone who's been in that situation can tell you that. It's changing because we got for many reasons. I mean, part of it is just time. I've been at this a while. I learn with every project. And last December, RxArt received an incredible grant from the Lambert Foundation. We received $1 million grant. And it was in honor of my dear friend Eliza Moore, who helped me to start RxArt. And 2 days after we were incorporated, she was in a terrible accident and didn't survive. So her family made this $1 million grant in her honor. And now we're having a fund to make a matching drive to match the $1 million. And it's called 10 and 2. We're going to complete 10 projects in the next 2 years. And we're well on our way. We have about 7 projects going on right now. We have a project that's so exciting at Cedars-Sinai Hospital in California. Urs Fischer, Sam Falls, and Laura Owens, three extraordinary artists, are working on the ceilings of the pediatric inpatient rooms. Every pediatric inpatient room will have a different ceiling by these fantastic artists.
That is wonderful. Yeah, and go through the other projects you can that are currently happening. That sounds very exciting. And
it's really cool. We're doing also a project with Dan Colon at St. Mary's Hospital for Children in New York City. It's the oldest children's hospital in New York, and it's for kids with life-complicating problems. It's a rehab hospital, but many of these children live there really until they're grown. They have problems that can't be taken care of at home, and they have a big recreation room. It's about 2,500 square feet, and Dan Colon is completely transforming it. The first time I saw the room, I said, it's so awful, I can't even imagine what to do with it. I just can't even think about it. Let's do something different. But we went back to it, and it's going to be so amazing. Dan had the idea to make the room feel like confetti is falling everywhere, and then he decided he wanted the confetti to be huge, not little. So we rented a studio, had confetti cannons, had a great photographer do a confetti shoot, and then we've had architects do a 3D model, and Dan and his studio are working on placing this. It's going to be, we have the 3D model is finished, and it's going to be like giant 5-foot pieces of confetti are falling, and it's the entire ceiling and the walls of this huge rec room are going to be completely confetti. And in this
wow,
case,
I love
we're having
that.
Colossal painters do the painting. It's going to be so fabulous. We're also doing a project in Washington Heights with Jose Parla. Jose is a Cuban-American artist, and he works a lot with the French artist J.R., who you might know. But Jose started out as a street artist. Yes, the photographer, exactly. And the Incarnation Center is the only residential facility for kids with pediatric AIDS and HIV in New York. It's fortunately, pediatric AIDS and HIV are not on the rise, but it still exists. This facility was a nunnery, and it's been around for about 20 years. And nothing has been done to it since the kids were babies and first moved in. So the walls are painted with bunnies and deer and whales. These kids are mostly teenagers now. They're sort of beyond bunnies, do you know? So Jose is an amazing artist, and he went to see the facility, brought books on his work to give to the kids, and it's just going to be really transformed. We're working with Ryan McGinnis in Norfolk, Virginia, on a project doing the atrium of a really large new facility, the Children's Hospital of the King's Daughters in Norfolk. And I'm just beginning a project with Matthew Ritchie that I'm so excited about because he was the inspiration for this whole for RX Art when I had the CAT scan. So we're doing a project at Hoboken Medical Center with Matthew, and he's been there to tour the facility, and now we're waiting to see what he proposes. But the hospital's excited about working with him, and so are we.
Wow. So that is a lot on your plate right now. And how many are in this organization,
right? It was the whole committee for a long time. But now we have a staff of three in New York. There's myself. There's Eileen Jang, who's our operations manager, and Megan Skidmore, our development director. And we just hired a West Coast director because we're doing several projects out on the West Coast in Southern California right now. And that's Alexandra Gaddy. And now we're hiring a project manager. So we're a little team, but with a little engine that could. We're all so excited about what we do that we get a lot done.
It's really so, so wonderful what you do.
Thank you.
I'm so glad you're continuing to do it. You're reaching people who are artists as well as curators and others in this broadcast. Is there anything that people can do to help? Is there anything you want to...
Sure. We have a website. It's rxart.net. Reach out to us. We'd love to have people involved. We have a new education program, and every artist is working with the hospital to devise a program of education for the children that relates to their project. And this is something that we continue to work on with the hospital, child life people, and with our volunteers. So there are more and more opportunities for volunteers. We can always, of course, use contributions. We're always looking at new artists. So please, anyone who's interested, reach out to us by our website.
Diane, thank you so much for talking with me today. It's really been a pleasure.
Thank you, Brainerd. It's been my pleasure.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.